I told Jens I don't got no more time for any more podcasts. Well,
this one's only 10 minutes.
Oh, well, I can do 10 minutes.
It's the Handy Dandy 10 Minute Sports Podcast with Jim Shear, and it all starts now.
Jim Shear here, and think of this as the podcast equivalent of Buns of Steel. And joining me today, former writer for Pittsburgh Magazine and current producer for Players Tribune, Sean Conboy.
Hey, buddy. Thanks for having me.
You ready to do this? We got less than 10 minutes now.
Let's crank it out, baby.
So
let's crank it out.
With you here, both of us being from Pittsburgh, this show has to have a Pittsburgh slant. So this week is week number 3 of the NFL season, and the Stillers travel to St. Louis to take on the Rams. So what Stillers team will show up this week?
I don't know. They look bad, then they look good. I think that at the end of the day, I think that the Steelers team is just a very different Steelers team. And with Dick LeBeau parting and Keith Butler coming in, I think we knew things would look a little bit different on the defensive end. But this is just a totally different brand of football. And I think, you know, Butler came in, and I think the really interesting thing is this is a guy who was a linebackers coach for 11 years in Pittsburgh. I think everybody thought that he was going to just continue on what LeBeau had done with the active linebackers and making them the focal point. And if you watch the tape of the first 2 weeks, really his scheme is all based around the front three, which is something that we have maybe never seen here in Pittsburgh.
It's crazy, man.
It's interesting to watch, though, because the guys, two guys that kind of got buried a little bit, you know, Tuitt and Hayward, the two defensive ends, were two guys who were getting buried by Steeler fans for a long time as being busts, and they look really amazing now. And the reason, if you watch during week 3 against the Rams, the Steelers linebackers aren't that active. They're basically, a lot of them are back in coverage, and it's basically the front three. You know, instead of plugging gaps, they're letting those guys go one-on-one against the offensive linemen, and they're doing a great job at it. So they're getting a lot of pressure on the quarterback, and it's a very, very different defense, and I kind of like it. I like the difference.
Oh, okay. So do you have any predictions for this weekend's game?
I just think, you know what, Foles is a much better quarterback than people give him credit for.
Yeah.
I think that was a great acquisition by the Rams, and I'm very, very curious to see how this Steelers defense shows up, because they got kind of smoked by Brady in week 1, and then they made Kaepernick look terrible in week 2, and this is going to be a very, very interesting test. But I think I'm going to give it a Steelers win, let's say 34-27. Actually, we're going for 2 now every time, so who knows what the score will be. It could be anything.
Do you think that's going to be our thing, going for 2, like that one high school coach who never punts or never tries an extra point?
I love it. Don't you love it? I think it's the greatest thing ever. I love the new Go for 2 mandate. It's anybody who's ever played Madden on Xbox knows that this is a winning philosophy. You don't just want to win. You need to mentally break your opponent and make them quit from the game, and I absolutely love it. I want to see an NFL team walk off the field similar to an Xbox player that's getting whooped online before the season is over.
The thing that scares me is that if the Steelers become successful, I see a lot of other teams doing it. And I think if everyone's going for 2, it's going to kind of throw off the dynamic of NFL football, because you're not going to have those close games anymore where you can kick a field goal and send the game into overtime.
This is a league that still employs Rex Ryan as a football coach, buddy. You don't have to worry. There's no way. It's going to take 30 years for coaches to catch up to Coach T. This is not going to be adopted by anybody. We've got a lot of dumb coaches in the league. We're good. You're going to see them kicking it for a long time.
Oh. I'm getting a call right now from my wife, and doesn't she know we're doing the first ever 10-minute sports podcast?
Let's ask her opinion. I want to know what she thinks.
I just declined her call, so we won't find out. Now, do you think throughout the season we're going to see scores like 48-35 and 51-28, a lot of high-scoring stellar games?
Yes, because the NFL has mandated through DraftKings that all games be an insane, absolutely dystopian nightmare, so that every person in America is glued to their television. I personally love it. I love this new reality that we're living in.
It's interesting that you brought up DraftKings, because I want to talk about that. But first, I think that the scoring barrage and the 2-point conversion with more teams going for it, it will benefit the Super Bowl box charts. Because remember back in the day, you would hate having a number 8 or something like that. But the number 8 may actually be good this year in the Super Bowl.
That's really true. More importantly, I have not played Super Bowl box chart since, I'm going to say, late 90s. And I really miss it. I don't know what box charts you've been playing, but you need to invite me to your parties. This sounds very fun.
All right, that's Dave Suretsky. But don't you remember going to the barber shop and he's like, "Hey, you want to buy a block?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'll buy a block." And I think at one point early on you could buy the 7, but later on you would do a raffle at the end, and then they would place the numbers once everyone paid their money on the Super Bowl block chart. But on to fantasy football. You talked about DraftKings. There's also FanDuel. I have seen more DraftKings and FanDuel commercials than I have ever seen commercials for Coke or Pepsi combined. So do you play fantasy football? What's your thoughts on it? And what's your thoughts on DraftKings and FanDuel kind of being like the big-time sponsors of the NFL?
Well, yes, I'm a degenerate gambler, so of course I play fantasy football.
And it's gambling!
Okay, you know what? First of all, for people who talk about the hypocrisy of DraftKings and this daily fantasy stuff, and how can the NFL possibly let this happen when they take a stance on other things, let me tell you something. Let me invoke the words of a great philosopher, Ted DiBiase. Everybody has got a price. And Roger Goodell, of course he has a price. He'd sell your grandmother if it meant giving Jerry Jones another $10, so he has a price. And so, yes, this hypocrisy will go on. What do I think about it? I feel sort of like Alex DeLarge in The Clockwork Orange. My eyeballs have been pried open, and I'm now forced to watch DraftKings commercials every second of the day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to become brainwashed. Of course, yes, I have signed up. I have put in my team, and hopefully you're going to see me on those commercials in a really bad sort of plaid shirt with a mustache soon. This is Sean. He won $10,000 because he started Jermaine Gresham on a Thursday night.
So we'll know if Sean won if he enters a bank with a giant check. And
yes,
to me,
you'll see me on TV.
You know what? I'm kind of interested in it because I'm unemployed at the moment, and $2 million sounds really nice right now. And I would just have to
pick. What would you buy if you had that money? What would be your first purchase?
I'd put it in the bank. I'm not going to buy anything because that's the kind of guy I am, Sean.
I would buy 10 Ben Roethlisberger jerseys in different variations. Yeah. I'd buy a fake one too that you get in the strip district. I'd buy a few of those.
Well, you could buy hundreds of those.
I'd decorate my entire living room just in a wallpaper of fake Ben Roethlisberger jerseys from the strip district.
So DraftKings and FanDuel, it does intrigue me, but I also think it is unfair that the NFL has found another way to make more money. And Sean, we're closing in on that 10-minute mark. Before you go, we've got three Pittsburgh teams going at it right now, albeit the Pens are just in the preseason. But who is your highest priority Pittsburgh team as we speak?
Highest priority, got to be Buccos right now. Such a lovable team, so refreshing. Love the clubhouse. I love all those guys. The Penguins currently just a bit depressing, it feels like, right? I mean, I feel like everybody's either sad or mad about the team, and it's just not a whole lot of fun to follow along. But you know what? Shout out to Phil Kessel. Let's go, Phil. We're happy to have you in Pittsburgh. Love you. You can eat all the hot dogs you want. We don't care. Get some Primanti sandwiches. If you score, we love you, man. It's cool.
Do you like the one-game wild card playoff?
Love. I love it.
You do?
I don't like it. I love it.
I think it's unfair, Sean. At least make it a best of three.
I love it. Let's go. PNC Park, under the lights, won everything on the line. I couldn't be a bigger fan.
I loved it 2 years ago when we actually won the game, but last year when we lost, I thought, that's so unfair. 162 games, you make the playoffs, and then you're out after one game?
Sorry, buddy. We got the ace. We got the ace. The Cubs don't have the ace.
All right.
Don't worry.
Sean, thank you for joining me.
Oh, this has been an emotional roller coaster. This is a tight 10 minutes.
It's a tight chip, baby. So for Sean Convoy, my name is Jim Shear, and we will see yins later.